Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Younger Generation Leaders Network. This is the first of a series of episodes that will focus on the future of Euro-Atlantic relations with the new Biden administration. This time, we will take a look at Kosovo and the recent elections which resulted in a landslide victory for the Vetvendosje party. Our YGLN expert Gent Salihu joins us from Kosovo. He will speak about the outcome of this election, and he will also address the future of US-Kosovo relations now that there is a new team in the White House. Recently, the Trump administration stepped up its efforts to facilitate a Kosovo-Serbia dialogue and has claimed to have brokered a historic economic deal in September 2020. Now let's hear what could be the next steps with the dialogue and what sort of influence Washington could have on a possible long-standing solution between Kosovo and Serbia.
With the new Biden administration, a U.S. strategic priority in the Western Balkans, it looks like it will continue to remain reaching a peace settlement between Kosovo and Serbia. Kosovo last week underwent elections, and Vetvendosje, a political party, won a landslide victory in these elections. There's actually never been a single political party in Kosovo like Vetvendosje during these elections that managed to win close to 50% of the votes. So in a way, Vetvendosje also has legitimacy to negotiate with Serbia in this case. I do believe that U.S.-Kosovo relations will also be shaped by Kosovo's readiness and flexibility in reaching a deal with Serbia. Vetvendosje leader and former Prime Minister Kurti has just recently noted that dialogue with Serbia is not necessarily a priority. His priority will be rule of law and jobs, and then the dialogue. However, I think it is too early to judge that Vetvendosje's current stance will put a strain on U.S.-Kosovo relations. I see it as a signal that both the U.S. and the EU actually need to rethink how to run this Kosovo-Serbia dialogue. And in order to understand where we are with the dialogue now, it's kind of important to recollect the type of engagement that the U.S. has had during the past three administrations pertinent to the dialogue. So during the Obama administration, the US had deferred the Kosovo-Serbia dialogue to the EU. It was more sort of, we'll be on the side, the US will be on the side, let the EU lead this process. The Trump administration then sort of returned the matter back to the White House agenda with the Washington agreement between Kosovo and Serbia. And now the Biden administration has made it clear, especially when he sent these two congratulatory notes, one to Serbia on its National Day and another one to Kosovo on its Independence Day. They're very close in terms of dates. And in both those letters, the Biden administration stated that any solution needs to be centered around mutual recognition. So with the Biden administration, the objective for the US remains the same. But how to get to the solution there's still not a clear policy. Sort of, what is the mechanism to get to that solution that needs to be centered around a mutual recognition? For a long-lasting solution, I keep mentioning the EU along the US, because for a long-lasting Kosovo-Serbia solution, there is a need for a US-EU consensus. However, in this case, consensus shouldn't mean the U.S. deferring the matter to the EU. There actually, I strongly believe, there needs to be U.S. involvement and also assessing how the dialogue should be conducted. And especially now that Kosovo will have a government with a clear people's mandate, but this government at the same time is sort of opposing perhaps not the dialogue, but the way how the EU has been doing business so far. So then the question is the Brussels-mediated dialogue still that mechanism? I also think that the current dialogue setup needs to be revisited. The EU has offered EU membership to both Kosovo and Serbia in return for a peace settlement. So it's a very good incentive. And the idea is that neither Kosovo nor Serbia can join the EU without a deal. But at the same time, the EU has set an imperfect formula that does not necessarily incentivize Serbia to reach a deal soon, on the one hand, and on the other hand, it pales Kosovo's EU prospect. So, and here's the formula that the EU has used to date, is that while the idea is that while Serbia cannot join the EU without a deal with Kosovo, Kosovo's EU integration journey can only move forward after a deal with Serbia is reached. So Serbia cannot join the EU without a deal with Kosovo. Its EU integration journey is already moving forward, whereas Kosovo does not have yet that path up until it reaches a deal. So this asymmetry in EU integration timelines for Serbia and Kosovo really encourages Serbia to become, as I would call, a false negotiator. So keeping the negotiation process alive, so without an intention from Serbia's side to reach an agreement up until the last stage of Serbia's EU integration process. So this eventual divergence of Serbia and Kosovo in their EU integration paths would sort of turn Serbia, would make Serbia look like a reliable partner vis-a-vis the EU. And as such, it would weaken Kosovo's leverage for reaching a favorable deal. So now the question is, to what extent is the Biden administration invested in rethinking the dialogue process so that it would make the Kosovo side easier, the Kosovo side's decision easier to sit and make a deal? With this new government that we will have very soon in Kosovo, both the Biden and the EU, the Biden administration and the EU need to understand that they cannot continue the dialogue where we left it off. That Vendosia has most of the time been an opposition party up until now. Well, they governed last year for 50 days, so it wasn't enough time for them to have even commenced the dialogue. So in a way, the Vendosia in the government will be dealing with dialogue for the first time. So technically, they are new players, and the Biden administration, the EU need to be patient to sort of bring them up to speed with the dialogue and listen to their concerns. When it comes to President Biden himself, he has a personal connection to Kosovo. His late son, Bo, served in Kosovo. There's a national road that is named after his son, and Biden was actually present in inaugurating the road while he was vice president then. President Biden also understands Kosovo and its struggles. In the past, while he served as a senator, the Albanian lobby in the U.S. was very much in touch with him. He was a strong advocate for Kosovo when he served as chairman of the Committee on Foreign Relations. And at that time, actually, even Secretary Blinken was staff director for the committee. So he understands Kosovo very well as well. So this is an opportunity for the new government in Kosovo to seize this moment of President Biden's leadership to set up a favorable climate for reaching a good deal. And to reach this favorable enabling environment for this deal to occur, it looks like at the beginning, there seems to be the case that we're going to have some negotiations to negotiate the terms of negotiations themselves. And that might take up the first year of Kosovo's new leadership. However, I'd say because of this landslide victory, we should expect a stable Kosovo government for the next 4 years. So now the question is, what sort of role will the U.S. play in sort of working out these Kosovo requests vis-a-vis the EU? Can sort of even the U.S. mediate between, as a trustworthy partner and friend of Kosovo, can it mediate between Kosovo and the EU in finding the right formula on how to proceed with negotiations forward? And the EU does remains a powerful player and hope. The EU membership is actually the only incentive that remains viable for reaching a deal, because I believe that Kosovo-Serbia deal will be kept as an isolated issue. It will not enter sort of great power agendas. Solving the Kosovo issue will not be raised, for example, by the US with Russia as part of a broader portfolio of issues such as Crimea, Ukraine. So there won't be any deals between US and Russia about Kosovo, those sort of type of deals. I give you something, you give me something in return. So the concern remains, how do we help the EU in this case by setting up a trustworthy process with sustained US involvement in reaching a deal? And then the question is, what if there's no deal, even in this case, or the deal is delayed, or what is that fallback solution? So that's the question that remains. And I would argue in this case that Kosovo joining NATO, in fact, it's not just a fallback solution, but more of a measure that should be followed in parallel to Kosovo's EU prospect to achieve long-lasting stability in the Balkans. So here, this is where we stand. There's hope that we will be having a stable government, potentially for the next 4 years, with clear people's mandate. We do have a US government that has cared about Kosovo in the past, understands the issues. So this is an opportunity to create a fertile ground to generate a favorable deal that will be long-lasting and will secure long-lasting peace in the Western Balkans. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. This was the East-West Coffee Shop brought to you by the Younger Generation Leaders Network. We hope you liked this episode. If you want to learn more about YGLN, have a look at our website www.europeanleadershipnetwork.org and also follow us on Twitter @YGLNtweets.